Okay, this is our last Orchos Tzadikim, I think, of the summer. So we're going to try to finish Shar HaAtzlus, so we could end off at a good spot, so I can pick up next summer. Hope some of you will be back next summer. If not, maybe some of your friends, and they can. You'll be back. Okay. So is that a commitment? Like right here, signing up. All right.
It wasn't my joke.
It didn't sound like your joke.
I don't want
to
take credit.
Okay.
It was Daniel's joke.
Okay. Anyway. You just take this from them the whole summer. You have to take this.
It's really the last week. It's mostly like the last week.
Crazy. Okay. Okay, so we're... Where's the Shahr of being nice? maybe we'll do that next summer. All right, but we're doing the Shahr HaAtzlus right now, so we're going to try to finish up the Shahr HaAtzlus.
We're not lazy in our making fun of
this. Oh, but sometimes it's good to be lazy. V'yesh HaAtzlus shi tovam od. As the Orchos Tzadikim does with every single chapter, he shows you the flip side of the Midah. That there's a Midah that you would think is got to be a terrible Midah. Atzlus is an awful Midah, but not always. Sometimes Atzlus is a very good Midah. Kigon, Hayoshev Mitzatzel, Laasos Raos, V'lirdof Acharataiva. If you say, I'm too lazy to do that Aveira, I'm too lazy to do that terrible thing, I'm too lazy to tell that Lashon Hara, I'm too lazy to go and be mean to that guy, I'd rather take it easy, I'd rather just stay here in the Beis Medrash. So it may come from, in a certain sense, from a place of laziness. It's a good kind of laziness. A person who says, I just don't feel motivated. Laziness, again, doesn't mean physical laziness. It means feeling a lack of drive for something. So in that sense, feeling a lack of drive to do an Aveira is a good thing. If a person doesn't feel like that's something that he he's being pushed to do from his core, that it's something that he wants to do, so that's a good thing. That means his midos are in the right place. If he doesn't have that kind of drive to chase after his taivos. Amral Adam, Sharatza Melech Lishalchul Makom Sakana Velo Avalalechas. They tell the story of a person who the king wanted to send him to a dangerous place, and he said, no, thank you, I don't accept the mission. V'cherfo HaMelech, and the king humiliated him, the king criticized him. Azam HaMelech, so he says to the king, Mutav Shetecherveni Vani Chaim, Mishet Espalal Badi Vani Meis. I would rather you humiliate me and yell at me, but at least I'll be alive, rather than you daven for me and say how great I am, then I'll be dead. Meaning a lot of times, people are very, they're very complimentary and laudatory toward those who are dead. But I'd rather be alive. I'd rather not be among the dead. There's a, one of the Rebbeim in DRS, Rabbi David Friedman, always says that he finds that a lot of times the attitude of much of Europe toward the Jewish people since the Holocaust has been to build memorials and monuments or whatever, everything for dead Jews. But live Jews, they're not so excited about. They don't love live Jews. They're very, very happy with dead Jews. They're more than happy to say a Mishaberech for us after we're dead, but not so excited to actually show any sort of support when we're alive. They once did a Purim thing in DRS. They did a video. The seniors did a video, and they interviewed Rabbi Friedman, and they asked him different questions, and they spliced the video where they had the questioner ask a certain question, and then they played his answer to a different question to make it look like, you know what I'm saying? So they, so he had this whole thing about, what do you think about Europe, about the countries in the European Union? And his answer was always, they love dead Jews. They just love dead Jews. So they asked him, so they had it on the video, what do you think about the Hebrew Free Burial Society? And he's like, they love dead Jews. But the idea that they're gonna that the king is gonna daven for us when we're dead, that doesn't really make me happy if they're gonna daven for me when I'm dead. But when I'm alive, I would like to be I'd rather be alive and have you not like me so much. And it's about that mashal that Chazal say, yesh or about this idea, this concept that Chazal say, yesh zaris v'niskar, yesh zaris v'nifsad. Sometimes a person, through his rizos, benefits from his rizos, and sometimes through his rizos, he ends up losing because of his rizos. And yesh otzel v'niskar, yesh otzel v'nifsad. And sometimes a person's laziness causes him to benefit, and sometimes he loses as a result of his laziness. And again, laziness and zrizos does not necessarily mean physical. It means feeling this inner drive for something, or feeling a lack of an inner drive for something. Niskar and nifsad certainly does not mean physical. It means, in a ruchniistic sense, that sometimes a person will benefit in his spirituality from zrizos, and sometimes a person will lose in his spirituality from zrizos. And Chazal elaborate. Zariz v'niskar, sha'osa malacha kol ha'shavua, ve'ina osa be'erev Shabbos. Someone who's a zariz v'niskar is someone who does all of his malacha all week long, and therefore he's not too busy on Erev Shabbos, and he's able to be mekabel Shabbos properly. So because of his rizos, they did all of his malacha all week, and he got everything done in advance. You know, they said, Rabbi Friend once gave a Shabbos shuva, not a Shabbos shuva, a tshuva drasha. You know, every year, Rabbi Friend comes up with a tshuva drasha, and he gives it in like 30 different cities throughout the country. So he like works on it all summer, and then he's been doing it for like 30 years already. Tshuva drasha. So one year he gave it about being an Erev Shabbos Jew. And his etza was that you should have your table set already when you wake up Friday morning. That by Thursday night the Shabbos table should be set, and you'll see it just takes away a little bit of that pressure about that, because the Yetzer Hara for discord in a home, for fighting in a home, for arguing, becomes much, much stronger in Erev Shabbos. And Erev Shabbos, when it's supposed to be Bas Shabbos, Bas Menucha, it's supposed to be a time where there's supposed to be a certain sense of tranquility. The Ner of Shabbos, the Gemara tells us, represents Shalom Bayis, right? And that's why Azar b'Ner, having lo banim tamidei chachamim, it doesn't just mean stam that if you light candles, you have children of tamidei chachamim. It means a lot of things on many, many, many levels. But one of the things that it means is that someone who's Zayir in the idea of Ner represents Shalom Bayis, having lo banim tamidei chachamim. So if a child grows up in a home where there's that sense of tranquility, so he has a much better chance of being a Talmud Chacham. I don't know why I'm reminded of this. Maybe I shouldn't even say this. But I once had a shaila. A guy called me up in yeshiva, and he said that his wife's kala teacher had told her that it's a good idea that every time they have Tashma Shamita, that they should give tzedakah, whatever amount of tzedakah. So he said they've been doing that, and he said, but he just lost his job, so what should he do now? He doesn't know if he could afford to give that amount of tzedakah every time. So I'm like, that's a weird thing to tell a kala, no? Like, tzedakah, like, first I thought, like, that sounds like Christian to me. Like, ki'ilu, like, you need a kapara. In Judaism, we view it as a mitzvah. It's kedusha, it's a mitzvah. It's, you know, the Gemara says that Tori hivilum alani tzarech about this relationship. The Gemara Nida says that Kodesh Baruch Hu is there to determine Ezer Tipa is going to be tall and short and whatever, but just not tzaddik for Russia, because a person decides whether they're going to be tzaddik. But Kodesh Baruch Hu is there b'shazivut. So to see, like, it sounded to me like the kala teacher was saying, like, you need a kapara because you just did something bad, so you need to like pay tzedakah out of it. So I felt I was very disturbed by the advice. So, but anyway, he needed to be matir neder, because his shaila was, does he need to be matir neder to stop giving tzedakah? So, like, I asked my brother what he thought, and my brother, you guys don't know my brother, you only know from his farm, so you know that he's big Talmud Chacham, but he's also like a very blunt person. Like, he's a little rougher around the edges than I am, let's say. So he said, of course it's a neder mitzvah. A neder to give tzedakah with every bowel movement is a neder mitzvah also. Meaning it doesn't, if you say you're going to give tzedakah with anything, it's a neder mitzvah. So okay, I wouldn't have said it exactly that way. But I guess I just did. But the idea is that it was a neder mitzvah, and therefore it's going to require hataras nedarim. I spoke to Rav Shachter that day. He said, yeah, it should require Taras Nedarim. So I said, but the guy's going to be embarrassed to be Mefarit the Neder, because he's got to go in front of three people. He's going to have to be Mefarit the Neder. So Rav Shachter said, tell him to come to me, you know, then he won't have to be embarrassed. Like, I think like that might be worse. I said, maybe I'll tell him to come to me since I already know, and because only one of the Dayanim has to know. I mean, you only have to be mefarid to one of them. So you get two other Dayanim. We don't know what the nether is. He's mefarid the nether to me, and then he could be matir the nether. I asked Rav Shachter, should I be bothered by this, that the Kala teacher is saying to give tzedakah to, you know, with every Tashmish Amita? He said, no, it's a Mishnah Berurah. I said, really? I don't remember such a Mishnah Berurah. He said, no, the Mishnah Berurah says that you should give tzedakah, that a woman should give tzedakah when she lights neros. Because since Ner is a mitzvah that carries with it a skula for Banim Talmidei Chachamim, so the way to strengthen a mitzvah is by doing another mitzvah in association with it. When you give tzedakah connected to a mitzvah, so that it strengthens that mitzvah and strengthens the skula of that mitzvah. So when a woman lights candles, why is it that they sell like these silver tzedakah boxes that are worth more than the tzedakah that's inside the boxes, that, you know, that women give give tzedakah before they light Shabbos candles. Why do they give tzedakah before they light Shabbos candles? They're trying to strengthen the zechus of the mitzvah, the dakas and eros, because they want to have banim talmidei chacham, so it should strengthen the zechus of that mitzvah. So he said, that's what the Mishnah Berurah says, that it will strengthen the zechus of that mitzvah. So he said, what do you think is a bigger skula for banim talmidei chacham? You think lighting candles or mitzvah sona? Stama mitzvah sona is a much bigger, much more direct connection to Bavim. So they want to give tzedakah every time. Okay, so that strengthens the mitzvah, giving tzedakah every time. That was not my gut reaction, but that's how Rav Shachter saw it right away. So, what did I think of that? Because, he was saying that, Rabbi Friend was saying that it'd be an Erev Shabbos Jew. Everything should be said Erev Shabbos, sometimes the time of so much arguing in the house, and you didn't do this, gotta get that done, oh my gosh, I can't believe you did. So just try to get as much done as you can. Be a Zariz, and if you're Zariz, you'll be Niskar. If you're Zariz, it will turn out better. And then sometimes a person is Zariz v'nifzal, Chosu Melech HaKol Shavu V'Vosu Gam Kein Erev Shabbos. He's always busy. And Otzel v'Niskar, sometimes a person is more laid back, let's call it, and benefits. She'eino osa melacha kol shvua ve'eino osa be'erev Shabbos. And also the nifsad, she'eino osa melacha kol shvua ve'osa be'erev Shabbos. Interesting, also the nifsad is that he dafka saves his melacha for erev Shabbos. Re'ei echelu chachamim b'levavam. She is rizu shi tova, v'yish rizu shi ra. It's so fascinating. The Orch Tzadikim, I don't know if he has this by every other chapter, where he has a clear Maimer Chazal that specifically says that this Midah is both good and bad, that this good Midah is both good and bad, and this bad Midah is both bad and good. But over here, he's got a clear Maimer Chazal like that, so this is very exciting, you'd imagine, for the Orch HaTzaddikim to say, look, the Gemara says straight out that there's Rizus that's good and there's Rizus that's bad. V'chein ba'atzus yesh atzus shi tov v'yesh atzus shi ra. V'chein tachshov. Therefore, a person should think that a person should do good with all of his limbs, with all of his movements, meaning each limb of your body that you're going to activate to do something should have an activation mode and a deactivated mode. It should have a mode where it's very excited and very ready to go, and a mode where it's less so. You want to get together with the chevra? Well, what's the chevra doing? It's a chabura getting together to learn? Ah, you're there, you're running, you want to be there, you want to be part of the chabura that's going to get together to do mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, whether it be to learn Torah, to do tomchei Shabbos, whatever the thing is, and the chevra is getting together to do mitzvahs. But if you're invited out by the chevra to go do things that are not mitzvos ma'asim tovim, that are late sanos and are not necessarily positive things, I don't have time. I'm not very busy. I just can't make it. I don't know. I'm not feeling up to it. You know, that's where you look for excuses, or you come up with every reason not to go. We say kal be'enecha liros das v'din v'inyanei ha-mitzvos. It should be easy to see das v'din and inyanei ha-mitzvos, the law, the justice. Who take kavod be'enecha liros ma'asei avonim mistakel b'avodah zarah v'nashim. Meaning that which you see that can inspire you, you should be jumping to that which you see that could inspire you, and that which you see that could be hestaklus and avodah zarah in nashim, anything of that nature. So that should be something that you're not so eager to jump to, and that it takes a lot more to get you to participate in something like that. You know, Avodah Zarah is a tricky thing, because Avodah Zarah, to use Avodah Zarah as an example, sounds a little bit funny nowadays. The Gemara in Yuma tells they already shechted the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. We don't really have that Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. Rav Lapiansky explained that Avodah Zarah really means two things. There are tzvei dinim in Avodah Zarah. There's the actual chitzonius of the Avodah Zarah. Someone puts down a pesel, a sheep, a goat, a sun, a moon, or whatever. You know, and says that thing is the Avodah Zarah. But there's also a panemius of Avodah Zarah. There's an attitude, there's a hashkafa of Avodah Zarah. And what that means is, when we are misdabik b'Kodesh Baruch Hu, when we connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the whole point is Kavod Shemayim. Meaning, I want to be connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not selfish. It's not that I want to be connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam because I'm connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I want to be connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam because I want to be marbe Kavod Shemayim ba'olam. And there's nothing that's more important than Estabikus Hashem, because Hashem is the ultimate Tov, and I want to be connected to that Or, I want to be connected to that Tov, I want to be connected to the extent that I'm able to be connected. When it comes to Avodah Zarah, the idea, the whole concept of Avodah Zarah was that there are all these kochos ba'olam. There are all these powers that are out there. And how can I use this power for this, and that power for that? You know, I need to have a farm that's successful. So if I use that Avodah Zarah, he's going to help me get the farm that's going to grow a good crop. And I'm starting a new business, I want that to be successful. I want my family, so for my family, I choose that Avodah Zarah. And it's just a matter of, you know, it's almost like if you look at political maneuvering. You know, you spend enough time in Washington and you see like how people, you know, make connections with the right people, because, you know, I scratch your back, you scratch mine, and when I need you to do this for me, and I need that, and it's all about just connecting to different people for my own benefit, so I can be able to use them for my own benefit. And that's the game. That's the game. And the hashkafa of Avodah Zarah, the panemius of Avodah Zarah, is not, the chitzonius is obvious. It's the sun, it's the moon, it's the cow, it's the sheep, it's the goat, whatever it is, whatever it is that you're worshipping, it's that item. But the panemius of Avodah Zarah is this attitude of playing the game, of, you know, utilizing whatever you can to your own advantage. That we still have. Meaning that we still have, unfortunately, in significant ways. Even within the world of, in the Torah world, a lot of times people are obsessed with being connected to this one or to that one, or to, you know, to this gevir, to that rebbe, to this talmud, not in a way of because it's going to make me a better person and it's going to inspire me to greater avodah Hashem, but it's a, what do they call it, T4, right? You know, like a you know, oh, and my buddy over there, you know, Rav so and so, you know, like that. You see it sometimes. Where you see it most strongly is, you'll see throughout your life that there will be certain people that at some point in their career, they're nobody. They're not, whether it be in Rabbanus or whether it be in other fields, they're just not doing that great. They're, you know, and no one's paying attention to them, and no one's trying to be connected to them, and no one's... And then all of a sudden, you know, they get a big shteller, they get connected to, you know, they start a business and it takes off, and whatever, there's something. And all of a sudden, you know, everyone's bragging, oh, here's my neighbor, I'm connected, I'm this, I'm that. Like, it's that's Avodah Zarah a little bit. Meaning it's not Avodah Zarah, it's not like you're Harig Val Yavar, but that's the panemius of Avodah Zarah. Meaning that's a remnant of the opposite of Avodas Hashem. I mean, the Estabikus Hashem is that just a sincere desire to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam and to be marbe Kavod Shemayim Ba'olam. Avodah Zarah is to be marbe my own kavod by harnessing the different powers that are around me. And that we still have a little bit. Usei Kalba is Nechel Lashma Musar V'Tochachos V'Divrei Torah. A person should be eager to hear Musar and Tochacha and Divrei Torah, which is not always easy for a person to hear, and many people have a very hard time hearing Tochacha. Divrei Torah also, very often people are very excited to share their Divrei Torah, but to listen to other people's divrei Torah, not so excited, especially if it's not someone that they're eager to hear from. Meaning, it's not the Torah that they want, it's that person that they want. So if it's like someone else who's not like their Rebbe, their Rosh Yeshiva, their whatever, that then they're not eager to hear the divrei Torah. But we should train ourselves to be excited about every word of Torah. Like I mentioned to you, that Maestro with Rabbi Yudin, that, you know, he sits there taking notes at every 24-year-old smicha student that's you know, that's saying some vart that might make sense or might not, you know, and like he's writing notes and because it's divrei Torah. If there's divrei Torah, you want to hear divrei Torah. We say chavid baznech l'shma nivul peh dvarim b'teilim, and we should cringe when we hear nivul peh and dvarim b'teilim, which would be something that we react badly to, you know, to the extent that people should see it on our faces a little bit, that when they're speaking nivul peh and dvarim b'teilim, we're just like a lack of interest. At best, a lack of interest. Hopefully, at worst, a lack of interest. Hopefully, at best, that we just utterly reject it. We're not interested in nivul peh and dvarim b'teilim. Nivul peh, the way Chazal used the term nivul peh, it does not mean the whatever the two words you're not allowed to say on television. When I was growing up, it was six words. I think there are two left that you're not allowed to say on like public television. But nivul peh, the way Chazal used it, is talking about intimate matters. Right? That's the Gemara in Ksuvis, that the Gemara in the first part of Ksuvis says that Hakol Yodim Kala Lama Nichna Salukhupa, but anyone Kala Manavalis Piv, Yotzi Davi Magunami Piv, is filu there was gzar din of shimshan al tovas nepach alav l'ra'a. So that's what a nivul peh means, talking about what the kala's nichnas al chuppa, what's going to be that night. That's a nivul peh, right? That's what a nivul peh refers to. There is, if it's also bad to say those, to speak in a crass and undignified manner, right? That's a different thing. That's not called nivul peh. That's called lashon nekiya, lishna ma'aliyah. That's in the beginning of the first parak of Maseches Pesachim. The whole first sugya is why the first word of the Masech is or, when it really means laila. But yet the first word is or because to show that we speak in a more dignified and a more cheerful way. That's what I heard Rabbi Friend once said, that Rav Pam used to say that his mother couldn't say the word sheker. She never said the word sheker. If something wasn't true, she would say das nit emes. It's just she couldn't say like it was like a bad word. It was so. Rabbi Friend was saying, and like when you're that refined that you can't even say the word, you probably stand a better chance at having a child like Rav Pam, right? Meaning like when a person is like that refined in their manner of speech and in the way that. We say kal ba'ab chaluchos al rishayim. It should be easy to get angry at rishayim. We say kavi ba'ab chaluchos al tzaddikim, and it should be difficult to get angry at tzaddikim. Kadosh Baruch Hu has done tzaddikim kuchuta sa'ara. We're not supposed to be done tzaddikim kuchuta sa'ara. A lot of times, people they mistake mahu afata, that they think that just like the Ribbono Shel Olam is done tzaddikim kuchuta sa'ara, and that everything that a tzaddik does that they think isn't 100%. To jump in to criticize, that's for the Ribbono Shel Olam. We're not supposed to be like Hashem in that way. For tzaddikim, we're supposed to the contrary. The Gemara says that if a person sees a Talmud Chacham do an Avera Balayla, by the next day you should assume that Asa Tshuva, Kvar Asa Tshuva, that he already did Tshuva by the next day. Rav Shachter always likes to tell the joke that you could assume by the next day Kvar Asa Tshuva, he already wrote a Tshuva to explain why his Avera is really okay. But what it really means is you assume that he actually did Tshuva. And that assumes that you're right. I mean, a lot of times we criticize, Talmid Chacham and Rabbanim and whatever, and we're just wrong. Meaning, it could be that they're seeing something that we don't see. I've dealt with this a lot in recent times. People with kashrus. Why do the rabbis of the community do this or do that or whatever? They're actually just right about it. Meaning, your argument doesn't make any sense. I understand that you're angry, but you're angry about something that you're just wrong about. So, it's one thing to criticize when the tzaddikim and the Talmid Chacham are wrong, but when you're actually wrong, so we have to sometimes let it enter our minds before we criticize and get angry at all the tzaddikim to think that maybe the tzaddikim are right and we're not right. At least possible. It shouldn't be easy for a person to get involved in disputes, in sheker, in leitzanus, in lashon hara, you know, a person should try to avoid controversy. You know, you try to keep your head down, go about your business, do avodas Hashem, not be interested in getting involved in every hack that there is a big yitzhar for those of you that are going to come to YU. It's a big yitzhar har in yeshiva, right? I'm sure you can see. It's a big yitzhar har in yeshiva that there's always a hack, and this is always the way. It was always the way of the yeshiva that there's always something that is the end of the world, and this needs to be my battle. And if I don't, if I'm not mevatel the entire night sitter with my chavrusa arguing about this inyan, then the whole yeshiva is going to close down forever. It may not be that the two guys sitting in the third row on the left side or whatever, you know, that they're going to save all of Yiddishkeit, you know, with their argument in that night seder. It could be that the Rosh Yeshiva are dealing with it, and that you know, it could be that your avoda is to not worry about those things, and is to just be shakua in your limud, to be interested in Talmud Torah, not to jump into every lashon hara and everything. You know, it's enticing. It's very enticing. The Yetzer Hara is there, and guys get all excited about these things. It's very enticing, but you know. Like Mizkenim Esponim, right? We learned from Rabbi Razer. Judah sent Rabbi Razer a list of questions. There was one that might have sounded like it's a little bit, if you look at it this way, you know, it's a little bit like it might be controversial. Rabbi Razer's like, no, we're not touching that. Like, we stay away from controversy. I was like, yeah, that's the one I want to do. I want to do that one. You know, but Rabbi Razer's like, yeah, we don't deal with controversy. We say, Kal Beficha, V'divrei Torah V'tochechos U'tzavu Salatov, and it should be easy for us to be engaged in goodness and in Torah, and to encourage others to do good. We say, Kavi B'yadech L'arm Yad B'reecha. It should be difficult for us to, I mean, it's too bad this is the last day. We could really have spent a lot of time in each of these in Yanim. But we say, Kavi B'yadech L'arm Yad B'reecha. It should be difficult for us to lift up a hand against somebody else. Or to close a hand to an ani. He uses that lashon, because that's the lashon of the Torah, right? That you're not supposed to close your hand to an ani. It would say, it should be easy to give tzedakah. A lot of times it's very hard for us to give away things that belong to us. We feel like our possessions are an extension of us. And that's why tzedakah is challenging. Sometimes better than to work on the midah of feeling that connectedness to our stuff is to work out a system where you'll never feel like it's yours to begin with. Meaning, particularly with tzedakah, I find that this is true. If you have a lot of money in your bank account, to give away a lot of it, to give away 10%, 20%, whatever that number is going to be, is hard because it's your money. If you have an account where 10 to 20% of your earnings immediately just go into that account, and that's your charity account, and it's not for you, it's your charity account, and you never saw that money, it was never yours, it's super easy to give away. It's almost too easy to give away, because, you know, every campaign for the building a mikveh in Iowa or whatever, like, you know, like, oh, that sounds like a great thing, $500, you know, like, you know, maybe not. Like, maybe you're not so good. Like, it is an achrayus when you have money. Because Baruch Hu gave you a pikad, and you have to make sure that you're spending it properly and that you're giving to the right places. Aniyah yircha kodmim. Aniyah yircha means those that you're most connected to. Rav Shachtel points out it could be you live in America, but your yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael is aniyah yircha, because that's the place that gave you the most, that was most connected to you. But there is a hierarchy. There are greater needs and lesser needs. But it's much easier to give away. It's much easier to open up your hands when you don't feel like it's your hand. When you feel like you're an administrator on an account that's not really your money. So it's just an eitzah. You're not there at that point in your life yet, but God willing, one day you will be. You should always be among the givers, never among the recipients, right? So you will be at that point, and it's always a good idea to have like that, you know, that to set up that kind of system. It should not be easy for you, something to run to do, to run in Darkei Rishayim, to go to all these parties and to go on all these trips or whatever. We say, Kal baraglecha laritz lebati knesios, lebati midrashos, lech zavakar cholim, lasos levaya, veleilich lebati avelim, lechol mitzvos. And you should be running to go to shul and to go to base medrash, to go to be mevaker cholah to go lasos levaya to help out. You know, they say there's a meis mitzvah. They need a minion. They need something. But to shut up the cemetery, it's a freezing cold day, and I'm going to end up digging a lot, and it's going to be exhausting. And you know, I have a million other things to do, or to go to Beis Avel. A lot of times, people are very hesitant to go to Beis Avel because they're not comfortable there. They're not. They don't know what they're going to say exactly. They don't know what they're supposed to say, and you know there is no right thing to say. You know, it's a good idea to think about a little bit in advance. I mean, not to just like any mitzvah. Mitzvahs require hachana. So a lot of times people say, okay, I'll just go to the Beis Avel, and you know whatever comes out of my mouth, the stomach will be good enough. You know, like sometimes, like some when you're a little nervous, like some like crazy things can come out of people's mouths in the base level. So it's probably kedai to like spend just a few minutes thinking about like what will be meaningful to this person. I strongly recommend. He wrote it a while ago, right, a couple of years ago. Rabbi Josh Grejauer wrote an unbelievable article about that which is comforting and that which is not comforting. You should realize. That's what was comforting to him and not comforting to him. And every person dealing with loss has different feelings about certain things. And some people are hypersensitive, particularly when they're in that matzav. So you're never going to be perfect. You're never going to say exactly the right thing. But begadol, it's good to have an idea of what the right types of conversations are. When you go to Beis Avel, not to like just be pounding the avelim with questions about details. So then, what was his heart rate then? And then, when did you notice that he wasn't breathing? They don't really need to relive that, like every moment of what happened. More helpful is if you, especially if you had a kesher with the nifter, and you can, or some fond memories of the nifter that you can share. Even just one, even if it was just a fleeting moment, even if it was just something they're looking to grab onto to everything. Or even if you have no kesher, to say, you know, I just want you to know that I was inspired when I heard in the hesped that you said this. That I decided to be mekabel this for a week or for 2 weeks, you know, this mitzvah, that mitzvah, like something that makes them feel that there's meaning and that there's and that the nifter did something. Okay, but you know, it's a whole mahalik. But a person shouldn't hesitate to go do mitzvahs because they're uneasy about the mitzvahs. Adrabah, work on becoming better at it. It should be difficult for a person to think hirhurim ra'im and to have kina and sinna. Right? This the Tanya writes in when he talks about the Beinoni, that the Beinoni is someone who has hirhurim, but he immediately shoves them out of his mind. Meaning, what we call a Beinoni is not what the Baal Tanya calls a Beinoni. What Baal Tanya calls a Beinoni, we would call the Gadol Hadar. But the idea is that when one focuses on hirhurim, right, most people are going to have some level of hirhurim. When one focuses on them, and you know, lo susuru achrei enecha means not that a person saw something, but that when a person saw something, he then focused on it, he then fixated on it, he then, right, that's lo susuru, that lo susuru sa'aretz, the meraglim go to scout out the land, they're going to look for something, they're going to seek out. So lo susuru achrei is to seek out that which, so, The idea is that there are going to be hirhurim to try to push them aside. There's going to be kina, there's going to be sinna. It's interesting about Tanya writes that when it comes to Bein Adam L'Makom related items, he says that when you have these thoughts, just like push them away. Just, you know, the Beinoni is successful at pushing them away. He says when it comes to Bein Adam L'Chaveru, he describes that a person feels a sense of kina or sinna, immediately should do a chesed with the other person. Immediately should go to the other extreme. It's interesting, but Ben Adam Makom doesn't describe that you have to immediately jump to the other extreme. But Ben Adam Chavero, if you feel that you're angry at someone, do a chesed for them. Do something nice for them. Like go out of your way to be kind to them. And that way, it will push away the kina and the sinner, which is really remarkable, because what that tells you is, if you're successful in doing that, if by doing a tova to someone that removes the sinna you had for them, that should tell you a little bit about the source of that sinna. That the source was not the other person. The source was yourself. Because nothing changed about the other person. The only thing that changed is you started acting nicer to the other person. You started being more giving to the other person. So that it helps you come to the hakara that was really you. We say, Kal b'lvav chalav shov hirhurei Torah. It should be something And this is also, again, I'm sorry we're going so late, but a person should have machshavos of Hirurei Torah. It should be easy to have machshavos of Hirurei Torah. The difference between Gedolei Torah, or serious Talmid HaChamim, and people who are not, very, very often, is not about the amount of hours in the Beis Medrash. It's where their brains are when they're not in the Beis Medrash. I once heard Dr. Tova Lichtenstein, the Rav's daughter, Rav Aaron's wife, describe her father, and she said he slept like a normal person. He slept at night like a normal person sleeps at night, but he was always thinking and learning. His head was always in learning. When he was walking down the street, he was thinking and learning. When he was just doing his that's where his brain was. And your brain can accomplish so much more during the downtime, and there's a lot of downtime in life. There's waiting on the line in the supermarket. There's there's driving around. There's walking to the basement from the basement. There's a lot of downtime. If a person is thinking and trains themselves to like use their brain when they're not actively engaged in anything, but to allow their brains to escape to Divrei Torah, that will make all the difference in terms of a person's development as a Talmud Chacham, because that's so many hours of the day. It's so much more time than you realize. La'asig malus avas Hashem Yisbarach v'yirasa ha'Torah. Person should try to achieve the great milos of avas Hashem and yirasa ha'Torah, yirasa Hashem tahora. Ubezete kal v'zarz b'libech li'dabek ba'or ha'elyon. And through that, we should always connect, and it should be easy for us to connect to the Or HaElyon. Okay, Beth Shem, next summer with the Sharon and Divas, believe that day.